Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Done. in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk?
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord
Thank you. the King was born at last. A Savior had been promised. Now it had come to pass, and the joyful news that He was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas, and the birth of Jesus Christ. Once upon a Christmas, from the far east wise men came, with gold and myrrh and frankincense, to praise the newborn King. And shepherds left their flocks and came to see and worship because the King was born at last. A Savior had been promised. Now it had come to pass, and the joyful news that He was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas, and the birth of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us.
Come, O come, Emmanuel. tonight. We thank you so much for everyone who did that, and a special thanks to Lindsay for organizing everything for us. We appreciate it. Excellent, as always, with the music. When you think of a person's name or title, it helps you to better get to know a little bit more about them. For example, if you had someone with the title of president or teacher or doctor, it gives us a little bit more information about the person. It doesn't tell us everything, but it gives us just a little bit more information than we would know, and it helps us better understand who that person is. The same holds true with the Bible. Approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah gave us several names or titles, if you will, for the future Messiah. And they do the same thing. They help us understand a little bit more of what he would be like, as well as what he would do. I'm going to read the passage in particular. We read it earlier, and I have it on the screen there for you as well. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6. And then we're going to look at each of the four names or titles. And I have them underlined there for you. And they'll give us a little bit more of an idea of who is Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Isaiah wrote this, as I said earlier, about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And in Isaiah 9, one of the interesting things is the prophet reminded Judah that there was still hope for the future. They would go into Babylonian exile, but after the Babylonian exile, one day the Lord would not only return them to the land, but God was still good for his word. God was still going to give them a Messiah. A Messiah would still come, that, if you will, long-awaited Messiah would still come in God's time. Their sin and their rebellion and so forth would not prohibit God from fulfilling that long promise. But what would he be like? Imagine in that time you would have thought to yourself, I wonder what this Messiah that has been longed for, what will he be like? And in many ways, that's what these four names or titles, sometimes it's called, describes. Notice as I was reading it, the first one says, Wonderful Counselor. Some texts call it Wonderful and Counselor, and it's essentially the same. Messiah would be wonderful, but he would also be a counselor. In other words, he would have this great wisdom, this true wisdom, and that was very reflective of Jesus and his ministry. That the Messiah one day would be not only wonderful, but he would be a counselor with true wisdom. And the Gospels tell of that glorious wisdom that he gave out during that 3-year in particular ministry. Today we find the Lord's counsel through three main ways: prayer, the Holy Spirit, and of course, his eternal word. The second one is an interesting one. In the Hebrew, it's the word Gabor. You might be thinking to yourself, I've never heard that before until Christmas Eve. Well, Gabor means, of course, mighty, but it means in Hebrew, a valiant, mighty warrior. This is interesting because only God the Father was given this throughout the Scripture. But yet, the Messiah would have this one particular aspect, and it would be the divine power of God. He would have, as Psalm 24, verse 8 says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." And so Messiah, 700 years before his birth, roughly, we are told that he would be wonderful as a counselor. He would be a mighty God. He would be all-powerful, victorious, and valiant. But has he ever wondered how in the world the Son could be Father? That's an interesting one. But you have to remember that Isaiah was writing to Jews, not to a North American audience. For a Jew, when they read it, they would have seen that it meant author of, originator of, or father-like. When the Messiah came in his due time and God's perfect timing, Messiah would be a father to his people. He would be father-like. He would nourish them and he would protect them, but unlike an earthly father, he would do so forever. Charles Ryrie puts it this way: Messiah is eternally a father to his people, guarding, supplying, and caring for their needs. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ long before he was born. Jesus would be like a father-like figure to those who would trust in him. He would guard, he would supply, and he would care for their needs. And he does the same today. If you're here and you have trusted and believed in Jesus Christ, Jesus is a, if you will, father-like figure. You actually see this already played out in the Gospels. One of the most illustrative verses of this is in Matthew 9:36. It says, "But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He cared, and of course, he supplies, and he cares, and guards, and provides for his people." Jesus' love and care for you, if you've trusted in him, is like a father. He's father-like to you. But do you know one of the beauties of the verse? He will be that way forever. It isn't something that is just temporary. It isn't something earthly. It is something that is everlasting and eternal. Jesus will always be there to care and to provide for us. So in this verse here, you see that there are four main names or titles that Jesus is given long before his birth, that he would be wonderful and a counselor. He would be the mighty, powerful God. He would be the everlasting father-like figure, if you will, by caring for. But the fourth one is the culmination of what Isaiah's point is. And the point here is, and it culminates in, that the Messiah one day would be the Prince of Peace. Two things in particular about this is that the Prince here denotes Jesus' sonship. Jesus would be, of course, the Messiah, but he would be the Son of God. Throughout the Gospels, that is one of the things that he is called, the Son of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his," what? "His Son, his only begotten Son, that we would have everlasting life if we trusted in him." That one's pretty straightforward, but this morning I mentioned this. How many of us look at peace and we simply think of it as external? In other words, it's something that is outside of the inner man. That is not the way the Hebrew would have looked at it, the Jews. They would have seen the word peace there and known that he was the Son of Peace, but they would have known what peace meant, which was shalom. For a Jew, it meant wholeness, harmony, prosperity, and tranquility. How many of us would want that? One author puts it this way: shalom is not merely absence of war or strife, but prosperity, well-being, harmony within and without, peace in one's heart, and peace with God is the perfect state of man. This is what the world really is in need of, isn't it? At the end of the day, it is peace, but peace only comes when we're reconciled to God. I mentioned this morning there's two aspects of peace in the text, meaning in the Bible. You have what is called worldwide peace, and that's what we see in Isaiah 2:4. One day, there will be peace on earth that floods the earth in the millennial kingdom when Jesus rules in perfect righteousness. To come up against Jesus would be to come up against the rod of iron. But the other one is, of course, as I mentioned this morning, is individual peace. This is that internal peace that something that is external, anything, can't take away. How many of us would like that in our own lives? To be able to say, no matter what is happening external, I still have this inner peace. And that is what Jesus offers in the in-between period. Beloved, if you are here tonight and you are missing peace, look no further or anywhere else than Jesus Christ, because you won't find it. The world can't offer peace. All it can offer is chaos and confusion. And when we look at the birth of Jesus, one of the things we look at is one day in the future, he will bring peace on this earth. In other words, he will rule the entirety of the earth. But that time hasn't come yet. And so the only way for you and I to have peace is to have that internal peace. And the way we do that is to trust in Christ. I've always loved this verse in the upper room before Jesus goes to the cross, because if it had been me, I would have been more consumed and concerned with myself. Jesus was more concerned with the disciples. He says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Those names that are up there and those titles give us a brief glimpse of what Jesus is like, and they help us know what the Messiah would be like. And Jesus fits every one of these perfectly. Jesus is wonderful above every single thing else in this entire creation. He is the mighty, valiant warrior who one day will triumph over all evil. He is a father-like figure, but only for those who have trusted in Him. And the uniqueness of His father-like character is that it's everlasting and eternal. But last of all, He is the Son of Peace. And that peace is received when we trust and believe in Him. I'm going to read this to you. I thought it summed up all of these four names, which in many ways are attributes of Jesus even today. It says, quote, "Look at Jesus as the wonderful counselor. He has the best ideas and strategies, so let's follow Him and not the world. As the mighty God, He defeats His enemies easily. Let's hide behind Him. As the everlasting Father, He loves us without end. Let's enjoy Him now and into eternity. As the Prince of Peace, He reconciles us while we are yet His enemies. And so let's welcome His reign and rule in our lives today." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for providing us with a few names and titles of the Messiah. They help us to better understand who Jesus would be, reflected in the gospel accounts, but these are also reflective of who He is today. Jesus is wonderful, and there's no one who can ever eclipse His greatness. He is the counselor. He is the one we should seek wisdom from rather than the world. He is the mighty God, the Gabor. He is the valiant, mighty warrior who one day will triumph over all evil, and so we can rest in Him this evening. He is the everlasting father-like figure. He'll care for us on into eternity, taking care of all of our needs and desires. But most importantly, He is the true Son of Peace. He's the only one who can ever bring peace to this world, but He's also the only one who can bring peace to the individual. Lord, should there be someone here today who has never trusted in Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, and in their own heart they would simply trust and believe in Him and experience eternal life. And so, Lord, we gather here to celebrate His birth, but of course, remember that that wasn't the end, that His earthly life also included and involves the cross. And on the cross, He paid the penalties for our sins, offering us peace when we simply trust in Him and in Him alone. Father, I pray that the service tonight, the music, the scripture reading, and this brief time reflecting on our Lord and Savior has been pleasing and brought You all the honor and all the glory that You deserve. Help us to be prepared as we go out into this world to share the good news that the Savior has been born, that He has died, that He has risen, and is returning again one day in glory. And all God's people said, Amen.